Hello! You are listening to the Plumfield Moms, and this is Our Librarian Life, a card catalog project at Plumfield and Paideia.
Hi, I'm Diane Pendergraft. I'm here with Sarah Masaryk, and today we have our library ladies, Christy Stansfield and Sherry Early, as we would for our library life. But we also have today with us Tanya Arnold and Sarah Kim, our special guests from BiblioGuides.
Diane, I am delighted that we have Tanya and Sarah here. Christy and Sherry and you and I have been talking for several months about the fact that BiblioGuides, they are just some of our favoritest people. I know, not a word, don't care. And their product, BiblioGuides, is really such a game changer and such a fantastic resource. And we wanted to bring them into this conversation so we can talk about how we as librarians find this tool to be one of those really excellent resources that we just wanted other librarians and home librarians and all the good listeners at home to know about. So we are delighted to have Tanya and Sarah back specifically as BiblioGuides. I mean, they're here all the time, but today they are here right. As BiblioGuides. Tanya and Sarah, the last time we had you here as BiblioGuides was way back when we started a year and a half ago. And it was, you were one of the very first interviews we ever did. So we've come a long way, baby.
Truly.
Ladies, we are really delighted to have the opportunity to help explain what we think BiblioGuides is and how we use it. And I just wanted to thank you for building a tool that is both beautiful and useful in ways that are just very meaningful. It is visually a very beautiful thing to look at. Sometimes Christy and Sherry and I joke that we like Tiny Cat. Sherry and I like Tiny Cat because it's pretty. and Christy likes Library Thing because it's got all the options and all the data. And I love that in BiblioGuides, we actually get something that's just nicely the marriage of both. It's a very, very beautiful application, but it's also really, really robust with lots of things. But I love that you can open windows and close windows to make it easier to get what you really want. Let's start with what BiblioGuides is. So Sarah and Tanya, why don't you start by explaining to us how this whole BiblioGuides idea came about for you and where you really hope it's going? What is the end goal for this? And we'll go from there.
First and foremost, just a background about Sarah and I and our team is we're book lovers and we're also all educating our children. And so, as you know, if you're on social media, there's a plethora of people you can follow and everybody has a book recommendation.
Yeah.
Right? And you just see so many recommendations and you want to remember and capture all of those recommendations. You want to know which are the best of the best. And especially when it's the golden age of children's literature, there's so many and you don't want to forget and you want to know what they are. And so our primary goal was to capture all of that information and make it searchable. That's what we wanted. I think it's important to identify what we are not. We never intended to be a library theme competition per se, or a Goodreads competition. Those services, and you guys can talk more to those specifically, especially Christy can, and the way the librarians specifically use library thing and whatnot, it has a very specific function. It does specific things. We have crossover, we have similarities, but what we're attempting to do is very different than that. And so it's interesting when people say, well, how do you catalog your books? And we get into these arguments about, I use library thing, I use
all
these other apps, right? I use BiblioGuides. I use all these other things. And we understand because you can track your library in BiblioGuides, but that's not its primary function. Its primary function is to be a living database. It's growing, it's changing, it's meant to be user friendly, it's meant to be beautiful, it's meant to give you enough information to be able to make a really good decision for your family if it's the right book for your family. So that has to be more than a title and an author, more than a cover picture. It has to be more than it's just on a book list.
Right.
A book list is nice, but that's following someone else rather than saying, okay, I respect this person and like the recommendation, but I still have to choose for myself.
A good book list doesn't always give you the why.
That's right.
Right.
The list is the list. It tells you what, but it doesn't always tell you why, especially for each book.
The why, maybe that could even be discerned by the title of the book list, but for who? Sometimes a book recommendation might be excellent for some people and not for others. And a book list will never really tell you that story.
Right. Or when. It could be excellent for your child, but not at 6.
Right.
You know, maybe at 12, maybe at 16.
Well, and no book list is as big, containing as many books as BiblioGuides is already and can be. I think of BiblioGuides similar to the books that we have on our shelves about books. You know, not just the lists, but the Honey for a Child's Heart and those kinds of books that give you a small database of books, and they do tell you something about each book, and there's, you know, there's information there about maybe even about the author and stuff. But a book like that is only so big, and it only has this many, and there are so many good books,
and they're always
out there.
Being added or discovered, so no book could even keep up with that.
Right.
And they're hard to search. That was the point, right, for us, was the beauty of a database is that we can make it completely searchable on all the different kind of variations of a book, right? Like you can search by time period or location or reading level or the main character's first name or all kinds of other fun things that we've added, right? That, you know, you might have a book on your shelf where the main character's named Sarah. And you might not realize, you might have forgotten, maybe you read it 10 years ago, maybe you haven't read it yet. It might be in Honey for a Child's Heart or on a book list. And that kind of information is really hard to capture and remember. But that's the beauty of the databases. We can store all that information and we can make it searchable.
And even if you find this book and it's in Honey for the Child's Heart or it's in Jan Bloom's books, and you're thinking, wow, I really trust this compiler and I really trust this list, you still don't know if I Am David is a good fit for the particular child you have. But at BiblioGuides, you guys have done a brilliant job of tying together so many credible and worthy book reviewers and book reviews that if you search I Am David or North to Freedom, its other name, then you can find, oh, this person reviewed it and this person reviewed it and this is what they have to say about it. That's something a book can't do also. And so I've really appreciated, obviously, I review books for BiblioGuides, but I've appreciated reading other people's reviews as well.
Well, and you know, there are a lot of homeschool bloggers out there. And periodically when we're doing research, we'll come across one and read the review and think, wow, that's really helpful. And so sometimes we know the person. It's a name that's familiar. Maybe we've seen them on social media. And sometimes we don't know who they are, but we still think it's a valuable review. And if you have multiple reviews, then you can really ascertain some good information if you don't have time to pre-read everything. So I think it's really taking technology and putting it to its best use. For a while, all we did have was books. And if you filled an entire volume, then what did you have to do? Mm-hmm. Create your next volume.
Yes.
In order to keep capturing all the data. And like Sarah said, it wasn't searchable. And in the past, we've kind of joked that what we want to create is the one list to rule them all.
That's right. So one of the things that I think you're saying is that this is all of the power and strength of those beloved books about books, but with all of the fairy dust of technology that allows it to be very alive, very dynamic, wildly searchable, and always evolving. So that as the book is either reprinted or there's a movie made of it or there's a podcast on it or there's a tie-in to it in some way, your database is constantly searching for all of those kinds of valuable updates that a mom might want to know. Hey, look, The Incredible Journey. Did you know that there's multiple movies based on The Incredible Journey? Let's go and look and see which one we want to watch because we've just gotten done reading the book. So you've taken what we've all considered to be the gold standard, which is Honey for the Child's Heart or Jan Bloom's books or some of the others, and you've made it, you've like breathed life into it and made it alive.
It's like 3D. We made it 3D.
Yes.
So you guys have been doing this for several years now. And how many books, and I'm not going to say, I'm not asking this question because I think that the number signifies like progress. I just want to ask, how many books are in BiblioGuides right now?
A little over 14,000.
So you know what I love about that is that it's a little over 14,000. That's a lot of books. That is a very, very, very deep pool to swim in. But it's not Amazon. It's not library thing where if I type in trains, I'm going to get thousands of responses that may have absolutely nothing to do with what I want.
The other thing is that those 14,000 books are across all of our partner guides, which we haven't mentioned yet, but we have a number of people that we've partnered with where we've put the books that they recommend on BiblioGuides, people that have similar values to us and who recommend books that we really like. And so of those 14,000 books, a large portion of them are books that BiblioGuides team has recommended and added, but there are some books in that number that are only recommended by, say, Nicole Williams from Sabbath Mood Homeschool, or some that are only recommended by Amber Johnston from Heritage Mom. And as a member, you can choose which partner guides you want to opt into and see their book recommendations. So if you're not interested in a certain partner guide's book recommendations, you just don't opt into them and then you don't see them. And so your total might be slightly less, but that's kind of how that works and gives you even more flexibility and more
options. But what you're saying here is everything is curated.
Everything is curated.
Every one of these books has been touched by somebody who you consider worthy of paying attention to. So these are not random suggestions of goodness only knows what. These are all books that have come to you through your own sources or through what you consider to be trustworthy sources. Again, not every book is for every family, so we're not saying that. But we are saying that every one of these books is coming to you in a way that is worthy of respect.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges we've sort of all are aware of in our current age is just the volume of data across everything, right? We're just constantly bombarded with more information. We're not at a lack for anything. We have the internet at our fingertips. And that creates its own issues of trying to cull through all that information to find what's helpful to you and what's, you know, what are the best books for your family? And that is a big mission of ours, is to help you as the parent narrow down that huge pool to, here are some options for me to consider. Not all of them are going to be great for our family, but I'm highly likely to find something good for my family from this smaller subset than the entire
internet. And because of the way that you have tagged and put in content considerations, at a glance, I can get a good sense of whether or not this book is going to be a fit for my family. Because I can see that it deals with issues that I'm either ready for or not ready for. I can, you know, exclude or include based upon the other things that you've included in the book record.
Not only are the books curated, but so that these books are recommended by or for someone, but there's another layer of content considerations for most of the books that gives you a good idea of why it might not be or might be appropriate for your specific situation. So there's a whole second layer of help with choosing.
Yes. In our January episode of Our Library Life, we talked about the fact that I was doing inventory and Sherry was doing inventory, and Sherry had said that she had a patron come in who had was really into trucks, and she wished that she had remembered to go and look in BiblioGuides for trucks, like to look that up. And that's one of the things that I think is really valuable about my patrons having a membership, is that this database, I use BiblioGuides for lots of things, which we can talk about. But one of the things I'm really excited about is that you have a special promotion for librarians in order to facilitate library patron memberships to BiblioGuides. So it's a BiblioGuide membership at a discount because it's purchased by the librarian for their patrons. And my patrons can go and do research on books and then use those tags to narrow down what would really be a great fit for them. Or when they're standing in my library, I can have a computer open and they can search it when they're standing there. Then I know, oh yeah, I have all those Trucks books over there too. So Sherry, how do you use BiblioGuides in your library?
Well, you know, we were talking about this even before we started recording, and my thought was one of the things that BiblioGuides is good for me is a place to keep my wish list, because I can, when I find a hole in my library, in my collection, I don't have any books about XYZ. I don't have any books about trucks, maybe. I do, but I can look on BiblioGuides and find books about this subject and then decide, oh, that one sounds really good. That one does too. I think I'll try to add those two and add them to my wish list. And then when I get a little money, I buy books. So when I get a little bit of cash somewhere, I can go to my wish list at BiblioGuides and know that I'm actually putting that to the best use, because these are the books that I've put on my wish list, and they're books that are already recommended by various sources. So I like that. I have wish lists in other places, but I like the one I have. I buy from the one I have at BiblioGuides the most. That's beautiful. And there's also a place on the Book Record where you can go directly to
wherever,
Thrift, Amazon, or wherever, and see what the price is and stuff like that. So that's convenient also.
Yeah, I like that for a few reasons, Sherry. One, I think if you're creating your wish list inside of BiblioGuides, you already made a decision, right? You've already done the research. You've already looked at the Book Record. And now you've said, these are the books that are priority books for me. So when something happens like Better World Books is having a sale, you know, 30% off or something, and you know you can already get books for pretty good deals there, then you can just open up two tabs. I've got Better World Books open. I have my wish list open, and you can quickly search without thinking, what was it I wanted to look for?
You don't
again?
Even have to do that. You can do it inside BiblioGuides and click on the Better World link.
Yeah, absolutely. But you could also, like, if you were just looking at your wish list and thinking, okay, there's a sale right now, boom, I'm going to try to get four books on my list. Or I don't know if people have had this happen. There's a sale, buy four books and then you get 20% off, and you can always find three, but you can't find a fourth. And during the sale, you can't, you know, you have 100 million books that you'd like to purchase, but you can't think of one. You can't think of what to search for, right? So using that wish list is really awesome. I think it's also awesome because you could add, you could have specifically a Purple House Press wish list or a Living Book Press wish list or Bethlehem Books. And then when Bethlehem Books sale comes on, you could just go and see, well, what are the top priorities of ones that I want to purchase? Maybe I have $50. And so I've already determined, you know, previously before this sale happened, what I wanted. And then you could say, oh, you know, these four or five books, and take those off your wish list. So I think it has a lot of functionality.
Oh, that I used that to the max when the Good and Beautiful was having their closeout sale. I just went on to BiblioGuides and saw what you guys had and created a wish list and had that tab open and got to some of them. I didn't get to all of them because it wasn't quite quick
enough.
Well, and
their site kept crashing.
Yeah, that too.
Not yours, not BiblioGuides. The Good and the Beautiful.
No.
Yeah.
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 So I think it's important that we just recap that what BiblioGuides is a really, really dynamic, robust, growing, I would say evergreen database that is totally searchable. And because of all the features of the advanced search, which we can talk about, you can really narrow down. You can put in something as you know, vague as trains, and then you can narrow it down by time period or geographical location, and you can narrow it down by one filter or 12 filters. You can have as many or as few to include or to exclude. I only want picture books, or I want you to exclude picture books. The options for doing really complex searches are kind of mind-blowing, to be honest. So it's a fantastic resource for that. Also, each individual book record. It's just a place of many layers of information. You know, you get when it was originally published, you get, you know, a lot of stuff that you might find on, say, Goodreads or something, but it's organized graphically in a much more visually pleasing way and an easier to use way. But then it so wonderfully has an interior view and it has the original cover, and then it has all of the reprints that you have that you recommend because they're either gettable or they were meritorious for some reason. So you can see if Purple House Press has reprinted it, or Bethlehem Books or Living Book or Smidgen. And then it keeps going. There's more. You can check out if there are resources associated with this, whether it's a DVD or it's a podcast, or there's a board game. You can find reviews. You can find partner guides, and you can leave your own reviews for yourself. You can leave your own notes for yourself inside of this. But there's more. You can also make your own custom lists. So, Mom, if you're sitting with, you want to plan out, say that you want to get all the picture book preschool books that you want, that you have in your library, and you want to pull them all together. So you follow Picture Book Preschool as a partner guide and you go and look at all of Sherry's books. You can map them out in your own plan. There's multiple ways to organize your reading. You can actually print out a weekly reading list from BiblioGuides. If you're homeschooling and you want to have different subjects with different books that tie to different subjects, you can map that out. And it's really, really fun to play with. Okay, so that's just like the basics of a book record and a very, very, very simple explanation of advanced search.
Oh, hang on. But there's more. Because you forgot the book-alikes.
Oh, yes.
And the related books. That's like my favorite. Do you know how many rabbit trails I go down? Because I find that book and then it's, let me look at this one. Oh, I actually have that book. No, I don't have that book. So now I got to add it. So I have two things going at the same time. And an hour later, I'm in trouble. But that's okay. But yes. That's my more.
Know, Christy, I love one of the other things that's really fun about the wish list is that you can also, there's also a list for books that you have on order. So, you know, when you're shopping at five or six different websites and you're buying all these different sales, you have your tracking number and what you paid and all of that, which you can track if you want to. But there are some other books that are just really, really, really hard to categorize and search and make sense of. Anthologies are both amazing and the bane of a librarian's existence. But you have done some really cool things to make anthologies more user-friendly for us. What have you done, Sarah?
Yeah, so this was pretty large goal of ours, pretty ambitious. What we wanted to catalog all of the contents of various anthologies because we wanted the power of the database to extend into books like this, where, you know, if you're a homeschooler and you're studying a particular artist, we wanted you to know that you had these artist prints in various books that are already on your shelves. Or if you're studying a particular poet, you might have these poems already in various anthologies or Christmas stories or just books that happen to be really rare, like the best in children's books that are super easy to find cheap online or at library sales, often contain complete stories that are actually in their original form very difficult to find. And so we are slowly but surely cataloging the contents of large anthology volumes like My Book House and Collier's Junior Classics. Those are actually all already
wonderful
cataloged. But also single book anthologies, you know, just a collection of maybe Easter stories or something. We've cataloged the contents so that you can search across that as well. And when you're looking at, say, a book record, like we were saying, you can see all of the contents that are in it if it's an anthology. Or if you're searching and you come across maybe a tag for trains and you click on trains and you see all the books that have trains, you can also see if there are train content inside of other books.
Wow.
So,
and that's the thing. I don't know about you girls, but do your anthologies ever get checked out? Sherry and Christy and Diane, do your anthologies get checked out?
If I push them. but only if I push them, because
they don't understand.
Don't know. They don't know what's in them, and they don't know what to do with
them. We are sometimes just not prepared to tell them what's in them. We just don't always ourselves understand. Right. Like, we know they're great, but it's really hard to say, oh, yeah. But if we knew what was in each anthology, so that when somebody says, I really need a fairy tale story about slippers, you would know that my book house has the glass slipper or whatever. I'm making that up. But
technical yeah. question. So if you did an author search in BiblioGuides, you would not only see the list of books that you have by that author, but then you would also see an anthology that
yes,
contains
you would see
that.
Books that contain stories by this author.
Okay, mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Also, the author pages also show biographies that might have been written about
right,
that author.
Right.
Okay. Or books that reference that author. For example, sometimes books talk about other books like directly, right? Like they yeah. mention other stories right. and we capture that information too. We're always thinking of new things that would be fun to capture.
You know, another thing I really, really like is that BiblioGuides is preserving a lot of information about books that is going to be lost yes. otherwise. I'm thinking particularly about the book jacket information and the cover pictures, but the blurb that summarizes the book inside the book jacket, and then the author and illustrator information that's usually on the back cover. That information is as much as you can captured in the book record at BiblioGuides. And those are things that, I mean, a lot of my books are old and they've been rebound yeah. maybe, or maybe not, but they don't have the book jackets right. anymore. And those book jackets are fairly ephemeral, even when you cover them with Mylar and all that yeah. kind of neat stuff. They're not going to last forever. They're not going to last as long as the book will last.
Right.
And I just love that information is there in BiblioGuides to give you a summary of the book and of the author's biography and the illustrator's mm-hmm. biography and all that.
I think that's true. That information mm-hmm. is going to be gone. The number of, like, if we're looking at books from the 1940s, we're now 80 plus years past that. As more time goes by, the access to finding those, especially because so many people don't mm-hmm. like dust jackets and books have been rebound or library binds and whatnot as books wear out, especially the information, I think even covers, sometimes it's very difficult to find a cover photo of what the original dust jacket looked like. We do our very best to do that. But also, I don't know anyone else that is capturing what the original dust jacket description was mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, is written and maybe not a picture somewhere. And a lot of times in our research, sometimes we're very lucky to come across a picture, maybe on eBay or somewhere, where there's a dust jacket description, but it's becoming mm-hmm. harder and harder as time goes by to capture that information. But I love it. Like you, Sherry, I love getting on the book page and being able to actually read what it's about, especially these older books, because on Amazon now for new books, you'll see the publisher will give a description, right? That's great marketing. But if you're looking at the used book market, oftentimes there's just nothing or there's yeah. a sentence. And so you don't really know what the books are about. Maybe sometimes on Goodreads and whatnot, you might have someone that wrote a description. But those original dust jacket information, I think it is valuable. And it tells a story in a different way than a review does.
Yeah, because it's not trying to tell you the merit of a book. Like a review is trying to break down what you mm-hmm. may need to know. This one is all about presenting the book to you. It's an introduction to the book. It's a different yeah. objective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's what people thought about yeah. it then when it yeah. was published, not mm-hmm. what people no. think about it now. Both mm-hmm. are valuable, but, you know, this is how they described the book when it was published and when what they thought you would want to know about
yeah.
it then.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was going to also talk about back to anthologies and just books in general. But the tagging is meant to assist moms and mm-hmm. librarians in knowing mm-hmm. what's on their shelves, because a lot of times you may not need to purchase something because That's you right. have something You just don't know it. And I think there's a lot of people that think, no, I know all of my library. And if you have a certain number of books, you probably do. But once you get over a certain number, you may remember you have the title, maybe, but you may forget that it's 13th century England. And so when you're looking for 13th century England, like, your brain just can't do what a computer can do. And it's really awesome to find out, maybe you were looking at a specific book and thinking, oh, that book is so expensive. And then find out that it's actually in an anthology, like Sarah was saying. I just picked up a single volume anthology at the thrift store yesterday. Cannot remember the title of it, but it had two books that I immediately recognized as rare. It had The Little Girl with Seven Names by Mabel Hunt and one of the Ted and Nina books by Marguerite D'Angeli. And those are so rare. And they were in this anthology, the full story. And I was just thrilled. And I thought, you know, if I had that book on my shelf, it would be very easy for me to think, well, gosh, I just went and spent $30 on, you know, a Marguerite D'Angeli book that I didn't need to because I already had it on my shelf. And so the goal really is to help us utilize our libraries as powerfully as we can and not just let things be sitting on the shelves.
Right, exactly. Well, and I find that understanding better when I use BiblioGuide, very often when we have a new book and it's not clear what category the book really is, there's a lot of books that are very blurry in their category. First thing we always do is we go to BiblioGuides and look at how it has been tagged. Has it been tagged as 13th century? Has it been tagged as zoos? You know, whatever it is. We look and see what the primary tags are and think, okay, now how does that reflect into how we would shelve it based upon our criteria? And I think that we really need to do more with anthologies or put something somewhere. We need to, in our own library, figure out how to make a notation on those shelves that these anthologies have things that would be relevant to those particular shelves. I'm not sure how to do that yet, but, you know, now you're making me want to.
This just sigs right into how I use BiblioGuides, because before BiblioGuides was my deluge is. So I've been collecting books for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And as we all do, I have a space problem. I have a finite space and I would like to be able to move around it a little more freely. And so I'm working in different collections. Right now, it's the picture book collection, and they are coming from everywhere. They're coming from boxes that were put away years ago. They are coming from the picture books that I started with when my kids were little, and I had my little shelf and the little pink stickers on the spine so they would know where to put them. And I still have two or three boxes of those books that have survived with the little pink stickers on them, and I look at them and I sigh because my children are all grown and I have grandchildren. And so now I have almost 20,000 books and I have decided that the time has come that I have to get a hold of this collection and make it work now instead of it just being here. So I am moving through each section and looking at the picture books. And in the previous recording, I was talking about it's so satisfying to have all the Jan Brett books together in one place. But then there's the other part of me that wants to pull out the picture book preschool collection and have it over here. So if I want to feature that to a mom who I think could really benefit by that, I can have this shelf right here and say, take a look here, see what you can find. So I can have two copies of a book if I want. And as I've been going through the picture books now, I've also been checking BiblioGuides because now I indiscriminately collected books. Now I need a reason to keep them. And BiblioGuides is helping me because it gives me a reason. I'm not just seeing, oh, it's on this list. BiblioGuides has it, and I can see why they have it, and I can see who it's for, and I can see if it has a partner guide. Who knows? In the future, I might have patrons that want to follow a partner guide. So biblio guides will make it easy. And then there are personal lists that you can make within biblio guides. So as I check it against my catalog, I go into biblio guides and I mark it on my personal, on my catalog list, so that one day, if lists become shareable to patrons, then I can send my patrons to biblio guides and let them take a look. Anybody want to talk about that?
Yeah. So hold that thought. Let's come back to making lists shareable. That's going to pique everyone's interest. And I just want to speak to something that you said, Christy, about where would you house a book? Would I put Jan Brett with Picture Book Preschool, or would I put it with all of my Jan Brett books? And I think a little bit of this is about habit training and how you're going to operate your library. So now, I haven't been in all of the conversations that you've had. I have a specific way that I like my library to be that works for my brain. And I think each librarian needs to determine that, right? How would her brain best work? Does she feel like Jan Brett needs to be together, or does it need to go into the curriculum somewhere? But I think the habit would be that if you have, I mean, you have two options. You either have a patron coming into your library and they're browsing the library, or you have a patron potentially being able to look at your list on biblio guides if they had a membership, which would be possible if you wanted to do a group membership at a discounted rate with all of your patrons so that they could see your lists. If the habit is for both you and them that they're searching for the books that they're specifically looking for, then they might find Jan Brett and say, I'm looking for this particular one. And then it doesn't matter where you have it housed because you'll know.
Oh, yes.
Right. You'll have it logged somewhere. Yes. If they're just browsing the Jan Brett books and they're thinking, well, do you have any more? Then you could say, I don't know. Let's go look at biblio guides, because I may house a specific author somewhere else for a specific reason. I may have, you know, like Purple House Press books. Sometimes I like to even keep publishers together. I mean, there's so many complications when we look at different things, but those might be with five in a row, or they might be somewhere else. And so I just think sometimes we forget to use the tool that's going to be really helpful to us. And we try to just figure it out using ourselves. And I think the more we can train ourselves to use the tool, then especially as a librarian, it's going to save you time, and it's going to help you be organized. Especially, I don't know how you guys are marking where your books are at, but you can do that in biblio guides as well. Sarah Kim has a lot of her books boxed in a storage unit, and she has them labeled which box they are. So when she's looking for free reads for Kwanu, she just searches biblio guides, makes her list, and she knows that one's box 71, that one's box 32. And so when she goes to her storage unit, it doesn't really matter where they're at. All she needs to know is which box.
I tell my kids our storage unit is our library. Yeah. We're going to the library right now to go get books.
Yeah.
And so I just think it gives you options, right? You have a lot of options as a librarian. When you put your tools to work for you, a lot of these clunky questions start to be figure-outable.
Discernible.
Well, either, but...
The best way to learn it is to use it. And that's I'm using it now. And as I continue to use it, I learn more about it. I spend more time in it, and I'm building a list in it, and I'm having a great time. And I'm using it, looking to the future and setting it so that I know it will be useful to patrons in the future.
Yeah.
I may sound like a salesperson, but I have no financial interest in biblio guides. You know, I don't get any money for this. But you all still have a free trial, right?
Yeah, we have a 7-day free trial.
7 days? I think every librarian ought to at least go for the free trial and see what and play with it, like Christy was talking about. I mean, what have you got to lose, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see why anybody wouldn't want to, just for fun, if nothing else.
One of the things that we're working on in my library is we are taking Sherry's Picture Book Preschool, and we are pulling all of our picture books to put into the correct order to go with Picture Book Preschool. Now, not every librarian wants to do that. But here's what's magical. with, and I know you can do this in library thing, but it's so easy to do in BiblioGuides because Picture Book Preschool is a partner guide. I could go and take a look at the Picture Book Preschool partner guide, and I can go through that guide, and I can, with just a few keystrokes, mark every one of the books that I own, and then mark everyone that I don't own that I wish to own as a wish list. And then, because you're about to tell us some exciting news, which is that lists will be shareable, we'll let you unpack that in a second, I can give my patrons the option to go and look at which Picture Book Preschool books I already own. And I can even share with them our wish list in case they have some that they want to donate or buy for the library or something like that. So this would be a really great way. I wouldn't even have to move the books out of their picture book shelves that they're in. They could just be tagged and organized in BiblioGuides. The mamas can search it from home. Then they can go into Tiny Cat and put holds on the books. Simple and clean. And the books can stay right where they are in the little sleeves that they're already in.
And they can read about why they might want to use this one in Picture Book Preschool over this one, because there's so much information captured in BiblioGuides that I don't want to capture in my library thing catalog.
Or they loved a book.
I'm using that for its organization and as a catalog. Right. I'm not using it as a research tool necessarily, and I'm not trying to capture all of that information and make it available. So BiblioGuides helps the patrons choose between the books because of the content, because of the considerations, because of, you know, all of the wonderful things that is captured in BiblioGuides.
And the thing is, if you've got five in a row and you've got, if you're doing five in a row, or you have moms that are doing five in a row and you have moms that are doing Picture Book Preschool, there's a lot of overlap in those books. You don't need to buy multiple copies of the books. You can just set them up in BiblioGuides and as their own lists, and moms can figure out what they need that way very easily.
Yes.
Tanya, tell us about the shareable lists. Why are we excited about this? For people who have no idea what we're talking about, what are they and why are they so exciting?
Well, this is something that Sarah and I have been discussing, our whole team has been discussing, and it's probably one of the top requested things is if I have a membership and my friend has a membership, I want to see their wish list or I want to see their own list. Maybe you have a mom and daughter and they want to lend back and forth, or you're just friends, or you're in a community together, or maybe
you
are
a wish
librarian
list you
want to
share,
and you would like patrons. Right. And so it is our most requested feature. And so we just kind of started talking about the nitty gritty of it, and we're going to start developing that out so it will be shareable within membership.
None of this has been developed yet, but our current plan is that you would actually be able to share your wish list publicly.
Wow.
So that if you want to share books you put on your wish list with grandma for Christmas, you can do that. We are going to likely cap it at about 500 books, which is probably plenty for a wish list.
Yes, I would say so.
that you want to share publicly, just because it is a paid membership. But all other lists, custom ones you create or the owned list, you can make shareable so that other members can see it, and you can choose if you want it to be on sort of a list of other members' lists that you might be able to browse. So you could sort of say, I want to share my list with other members and make it kind of on the directory of member lists, or I want to keep it unlisted and only the people that I give the link to will be able to find it.
So that's the reason why I think this is brilliant and so important is because we have a lot of patrons who come into the library and say, Mrs. Mazarik, what do you have for me for this week? And I'm always having to think on the spot what I have for that 7-year-old or that 9-year-old. But if there was a list that I could constantly be making every time Emily comes in, I know that Emily likes horses and I know that she likes princesses. And so I start adding books to her list. I can share that with her mom. These are books I have in my library. These are books I would recommend to Emily. And then the mom can use that to go and reserve those books. So That would be so nice for my patron customer service note taking. I'm excited.
Yeah, or maybe you could even have just a new to the library list that you're constantly updating that you could share. Yes. So that as they're seeing fresh material coming in, which I think that keeps your library feeling vibrant to people and not static. And let's be honest, even if you say, I'm not buying any books right now, books still are coming for some reason.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Right? Books still come, just maybe they don't come at the same rate. There's different seasons. Right, but books are always coming. There's always new acquisitions.
Or how many times do we do displays? These are the books that are on display. These are the featured books of February. What a brilliant, brilliant thing we can do. Yay!
Yeah, that actually is a fun idea. And if you think about that, your public library does that too. They're always looking for ways to highlight books of interest that people just don't know about. And so they usually have a display, and it would be another way to do that digitally, which would be amazing.
Yeah, and super easy with BiblioGuides because we have those holiday lists of books we've already curated that we love for the holadays. You could quickly see which ones are in your library and add them to your own.
So shop those lists and then promote them.
Yeah.
And then all the ones that are on the list that we don't have, we just tag them as wish list. That is really wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that about. So let's say that I'm curious and I'm going to do what Sherry says and I'm going to go try the 7-day trial. And I've decided I really want this, but I recognize that it's really useful to me no matter what. But I'm curious about whether or not my patrons might bite and whether or not I might want to offer it to my patrons. What does that look like as a librarian? How do I do group membership for my library?
Yeah, so if you're interested in a group membership for your library patrons, then you just need to reach out to us and we'll share the details. Basically, how it works is we create a custom landing page for you where that you can give to your patrons and they can come right into the platform. They just create an account and they're right in. And then we just charge you directly. And I believe most of the librarians that have done this have made it a percentage of whatever their dues are, their annual dues. And so it comes out of that. And that's kind of how it works.
And I've personally done this and I have a couple of patrons who were going to join the library, they thought, but when they knew that they could combine the library with BiblioGuides, it was actually an incentive for them. And it was something they were very, very eager to get their BiblioGuides membership up and running. But I do have a lot of patrons who don't understand what BiblioGuides is. And, you know, when I've got 50 kids. Okay, that's an exaggeration. When I've got 20 kids all trying to talk to me at the same time, it's really hard to unpack that with a mom. So we're going to do a mom's night out on Zoom. And Tanya, you're going to come and help us give these moms the nickel tour and help them get squared away. Is that something you would do with other librarians as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Our goal here is to support librarians and support families into finding the stories and getting them into the hearts and minds of their children. And there's great benefit in meeting live. I think any of us can watch a recording, but it's so easy to put off the things that we know we need to be doing. You know, how many of us have this to-do list and it's, I'm going to go look into this at some point. I'm going to activate this thing at some point. And life is so overwhelming and we don't prioritize it sometimes. And so we're definitely willing to have a live event where all you need to do is just
show up. In your pajamas.
Right. Show up in your pajamas. Be able to ask some questions.
Have some community.
I'm still – well, that's the thing, right? Have some community. Have an ability to be with other – I mean, typically other women, right? And talk good books, talk how to find them, and really get excited and motivated to put this tool to use for you that is going to save you time and money.
It really is going to save you time and money. Absolutely. It's also going to do something else. It is going to enrich the time and money that you are spending. So you're going to make better purchases. You're going to do better research. The books that you'll have in your library will be, I mean, you may already have truly excellent books in your library, but nobody has everything. There are gems to be discovered, and BiblioGuides will give you the best route to finding the really best things out there that you may not know about yet.
Well, and nobody knows all there is to know about all the good books. And I would even say, I don't care if you've been collecting children's books for 30 years, and maybe Christy and Sherry can speak to this. there's still going to be books that you haven't heard of. There's going to be authors you haven't heard of. And I feel like Sarah and I and our team have fast-tracked our education. So maybe the amount of years we've put in isn't 30 years, but it's almost equivalent to 30 years because of the number of hours we've put in. And we know a lot, and we still learn so much and get excited about new authors and new books. And we love using resources like Internet Archive, because a lot of these books you can't even purchase anymore, but you could read, especially a picture book on Internet Archive. I like doing with my children. So I think it doesn't matter where you're at on your educational journey. And even if you think you are a seasoned librarian, there's something here for you. There's something here for everyone.
And you have, as a benefit for members, discounts to some of our favorite small publishers that are a privilege of members only, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have a great mobile
app
presence. It's very handy. It's very fast. And it's very usable when you're at a book sale. And you're trying to decide whether you need to buy this book or not.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's basically a mobile web app. So it's not like an
app.
App you would find in the iTunes store or Android store. But it's something that you can put as a shortcut on your phone and be able to quickly pull up and use. So I use it all the time too.
That's the only way I use it. Pretty much.
It also means it's the complete functionality of the website.
But it has the functionality of the website, but it's formatted for the mobile use, which makes it really nice to use.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous. Well, ladies, this is going to sound like we're a broken record here, but it's true that BiblioGuides is so much bigger than can be explained in a short podcast or even in a walkthrough. It is very much one of those tools that you just need to get in there and you just need to play with it and use it. And you do have on your website a number of videos. Now, those videos, are they available to anybody to look at, or do you have to have a membership in order to see the videos of how to use BiblioGuides?
You have to be a member. When you sign up for the free trial, we send you an email every day of your 7-day free trial with a video to help you learn something else little about how to use the website and try it out during your trial. I think on the membership page where you sign up, there's 3 really short little videos that show you a couple, some clips of things that you can do. But the more demo videos are available to members.
Marvelous. And then so many of us have really struggled with social media and being overwhelmed and distracted, but you all have set up a community. We talk about it on the podcast all the time. You've set up the BiblioGuides online community. You very graciously let us host our own little space over there. We're so grateful for that. So both the card catalog and Plumfield. So thank you for that. But inside of that, so those are public groups inside of that community. There's also an all posts group that's for everybody. And then there's a BiblioGuides members only community inside of that community. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. We wanted a place where members could come and just have direct access if they didn't want to email us, for example, and just be able to ask questions or get support somehow, maybe clarify a search or ask questions about authors. So just for members, a certain portion of that
community. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, ladies, is there anything else you'd like to tell us today to make sure that everybody at home gets a chance to hear before we wrap up?
I think if anyone is listening and they have questions, come join the community and
ask. Yeah.
Ask. Yeah. Send us a message. We built it because this was our dream. This is what we wanted for us and our families. We knew we couldn't remember all the details about all the books. And so it was a tool that we hoped that would be a blessing to our families and to all of the other mamas out there.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's that. I think this is one of those things that's tricky to explain, but so is a private lending library. It's sometimes difficult to sort of properly convey the magnitude of what something is. But to know this database is really to love it. And I'm so grateful that it exists. And I'm so grateful that you've partnered with us this way.
Yeah, for sure. I think the partnerships are so life-giving and fun. I want to say one last thing. We have had people ask, because I think they're trying to mm-hmm. understand the value and is it worth their dollars? Well, is this just another book list? Which I think we've answered that question, but it's a complicated question because not by a long shot. And yet it's not giving you access to read the books themselves, right? It's a searchable database of all these beautiful curated books. So in a sense, it is a book list. And yet it's about 1,000 times more than
that. Let's just break this down for a second. If it were just a book list, which it's not, but let's just say that it was, it's 14,000 books properly organized and searchable. So at its bare bones, it would be a very, very powerful book list that can be easily used by librarians to get meaningful results for the kinds of libraries that they have. That's the bare bones. But the reality is it is so much bigger. It has so much more content in there. It is constantly growing and evolving. We didn't even talk about your special projects that you're working on right now that I know are going to have their own space and their own attention. But when this airs, we probably will have already talked about the awards project. That's all I'm going to say. So if we have, we'll make sure to link it in the show notes. Otherwise, stay tuned. But there are just so many ways in which you are trying to make books more available and accessible to the people who need them.
I just want to say that I'm thankful for, I'm really honestly thankful to the Lord for BiblioGuides.
Oh, Sherry, thank you for that. And to you.
Yeah. And we're really thankful for the lending libraries, for all of you. I mean, I think you're doing amazing work that's such in line with mm-hmm. our mission as well. That's why we're mm-hmm. thrilled to host the lending library list. And it's just a beautiful collaboration to work together.
God be praised that we can all be together in this same madness, which is actually sanity. We are so grateful also, Tanya and Sarah, that you introduced us to Christy and Sherry and to this whole private lending library movement. This is it's thanks to you that so many good things are happening. And so, friends, if you like what you hear from Tanya and Sarah in all the many times that they are on the podcast, if you like what you see at the card catalog, or any of the collaboration you see between us and the library ladies, you're probably going to like BiblioGuides because it's the same people working together in the same kind of work, just in a different medium.
Tanya and Sarah, we so much appreciate you sharing your gifts and your work with us. We really appreciate that. Christy and Sherry, you didn't have any choice about being here, but it was nice chatting with you. And it was lovely having us all together in one place. So thank you very much.
Ladies, it's always such a gift to be able to spend time with you. And I hope that our listeners enjoyed it as much as we did. Friends, we do invite you to check out the show notes where we'll have links to all of the things. And we particularly invite you to take a look at the BiblioGuides Private Lending Library Directory. If you haven't registered your directory yet, even if you're just in the planning stages, we really encourage you to go and do that. The directory is getting so big and beautiful, and we can't wait to celebrate with you as you add your library. So you can find that in the show notes. Otherwise, just head to the BiblioGuides website and under resources, look for Private Lending Library Directory. Friends, hang out with us. Come and find us on social media or in the BiblioGuides online community, which is a mighty network. Totally free. And we look forward to chatting with you there. Thanks so very much, friends. And until next time.